to order. We'll have a public hearing on House Bill 2227, and I'll ask staff to introduce the bill.
Thank you, Senator. House Bill 2227 allows the board, Oregon Board of Dentistry, when licensing dental hygienists, to accept the results of professional examinations administered in other states. Just some background. Current Oregon law allows the Board of Dentistry to either conduct its own clinical examination for dental hygienists or to recognize results of clinical exams conducted by a regional testing agency. There's no provision to recognize a clinical exam by another state. Currently, there's four regional testing agencies that conduct these examinations for dentists and hygienists. Approximately 40 states recognize one or more of these regional or these clinical examinations. However, there are 10 states that conduct their own exams. This House bill would allow Oregon to recognize the examination results from these other 10 states. In 1999, House Bill 3123 changed the law regarding examinations for dentists, but left out language for hygienists. This bill basically mirrors that.
Thank you. Is this your announcement?
Yes.
I've been asked to remind folks to make sure your cell phones are off. Apparently that's been a problem in some of the other committees. I don't think we've had a problem in particular with that ourselves. And granted, I've got a small audience here, so I may have to remake this announcement when we fill up. But thank you for your consideration. Appreciate it very much. We have Joanne Bones and Dave Cosgrove.
Okay. Paul.
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 We'll forgive you this time, Paul.
Oh, I'm sorry. I said Dave here. It says, please print legibly.
My cell phone is off.
You don't read well.
You obviously have to be a competent doctor.
I'm an attorney, Mr. Chairman, which makes it worse.
Anyone is willing to confess to the fact.
That's right.
Well, to top it off, I hadn't got my glasses on yet. I didn't know what that was in either. I have to bear part of the blame here. Go ahead.
Mr. Chair, I'm Joanne Bones, Executive Director of the Board of Dentistry. Staff has already introduced the bill quite well. I doubt that there's anything that I can add to it. The board introduced this bill at the request of the dental hygienists to mirror the same legislation that passed, in fact, before your committee last session, and we would request your support again.
I guess we have some stuff here from the Board of Dentistry. Is this part of your...
Yes, Senator Fisher, that's my printed testimony, but
I just
staff
want to
already
sure we had this entered in the...
Yes, sir.
In
you
the
do.
Process.
You do.
Well, thank you for your kind words. I'm sure staff appreciates that. He's done that for me several times on bills that we're carrying on the course. Very nice to have somebody write something that's well done. Takes care of the program in one shot.
Absolutely. Very thorough.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Paul Cosgrove, and I represent the Oregon Dental Hygienists Association, and we would also ask your support for this bill. I would just like to point out that there is another bill headed on its way, we believe, to you that deals with a similar and related subject, and that's House Bill 2469 that was just passed out of the House Health and Public Advocacy Committee unanimously yesterday, and that means that when that bill gets here, there'll need to be some conflict amendments to rationalize the two. But they're dealing with approximately the same subject in a slightly different way, and 2469 deals with both dentists and dental hygienists, whereas this deals with just dental hygienists. So we would ask your support of this bill, and
all
I'd
right.
be happy to answer any questions.
Would it be all right then to hold it up until we get the other bill and then work them together? Is that the best I plan?
It may be appropriate to do that if that's
if it
your
were deemed
pleasure.
Necessary to change this bill, I'd hate to have to pull it back off the Senate floor and run it back through committee again.
It might make the conflict amendment simpler if you had both bills in front of you at the same time. And as I say, it just came out of committee unanimously, but with amendments, so it'll go to the House floor in 4 or 5 days and maybe be over to you in a week or two.
We're not scheduled out too far in advance, so there shouldn't be any problem with this. And you can give us a call and keep in touch with staff here. And I don't see any problem with that. I'd really sooner do that than try to fish something back or try to write something in something other complicated that dealt with a bill that we could just as easily make compatible.
Great. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Were there further questions or anybody else have a different idea? Open.
Well, I think it's an excellent arrangement.
Mm-hmm. All right, we'll do that, and thank you so much. We'll look forward to the arrival of the other bill, and in the meantime, if you knew amendments that needed to be drawn up or things that needed to be done for this, we'd be happy to get them into the pipeline.
You can
work with staff on that.
Thank you very much.
Okay, we'll close the hearing, public hearing on House Bill 2227, and open a public hearing on House Bill 2233. I'll ask staff to introduce it.
Senator, House Bill 2233 basically repeals ORS 680170, which is attached to your summary. What this does is eliminates the requirements that dentists list their dental hygienist employees with the Oregon Board of Dentistry. As some background, the Board of Dentistry notes that Oregon has approximately 3,410 dentists and about 3,000 dental hygienists. The board under this statute 680010 to 205 licenses dental hygienists, and the requirement that the dentist list their hygienist with the Board of Dentistry has never been implemented or enforced, and it may date from a time when the concern was that a dentist might employ more dentists than hygienists.
And we have Joanne Bones, Board of Dentistry, and Paul Cosgrove again, Dental Hygiene Association. Right ahead, in whichever order you wish.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm Joanne Bones, Executive Director of the Board of Dentistry. As staff has already told you, this request is to repeal a statute that is unnecessary and has not been implemented. We believe it belonged with an adjacent statute that was repealed in 1991 that restricted the number of dental hygienists that a dentist could employ at any given time. And the way that worked was that if a dentist wanted to employ more than two hygienists, they had to come and get a specific permission from the board. This statute, which we're asking for you to repeal now, we believe was probably the way to enforce that rule or bill, statute, I'm sorry. That was repealed in 1991, and we believe that this statute should have been repealed at that same time and ask that you do so now. We don't need to be registering the employment and termination of employment of hygienists. We do have a very accurate record of hygienists and dentists based on our licensing file and a statute that requires that they register with us any change of address within 30 days of their move.
I want to have a little fun with this. Madam Vice Chair.
Yes, sir.
You're the only one that remembers back to those days that was here that has institutional memory, and you didn't get this taken care of in 1991.
They didn't have Paul Cosgrove as one of the obvious.
Mr. Chairman, Paul Cosgrove, Oregon Dental Hygiene Association. I really don't have anything to add. I think this is we would ask your support of this bill as well.
Okay. Any further questions? Or this one isn't tied in with any other that we know of, so we can go right ahead and I'll just close the hearing and open the session on House Bill 2233.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Move House Bill 2233 to the floor with due pass recommendation.
Senator Carter has moved House Bill 2233 to the Senate floor with a due pass resolution. Is there further discussion or objection? Yes.
Like you said, 10 years late, but she didn't pass it.
You know what? It's, maybe we should have done this at 2 o'clock because he'd be asleep.
Well, at least he didn't do any puns.
That's right.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I was relieved to have an answer to this question and why it has never been implemented or enforced. After one colleague of mine asked, why didn't you do this before? Find out, we probably took away all the ability to do it.
I know, sometimes it's nice to have.
I appointed another committee that laws can be overlooked under certain circumstances in the state of Oregon.
It must be really nice to be able to beat up on those who were here before the members that are on this present committee.
Well, it's not often that us youth get a chance to get at our elders. And by that I mean in time in the legislature. Okay, well, I guess enough of that. We've got a couple other things to work on here, but hearing no opposition to this, I'll ask the clerk to call the roll.
Senator Majerus?
Aye.
Senator Shields?
Aye.
Senator George?
Aye.
Senator Carter?
Aye.
Chair Fisher?
Aye. Yes, now that we've had our fun with Senator Carter, I'll carry the bill and you can get at me then.
That's right.
Motion carries, and appreciate folks coming here for this. Close the work session on House Bill 2233 and open a public hearing on Senate Bill 413. Ask staff to introduce that, and do we have anyone wishing to testify?
Senate Bill 4th of January, it primarily allows licensed naturopathic physicians to order diagnostic procedures, modifies definition of practice of doctor of naturopathy, extends the authority of the board of naturopathic examiners to issue reciprocal licenses to qualified licensees from jurisdictions outside of the country, revise the types of fees assessed by the board, and modifies the basis for disciplinary action. As a little background information, naturopathic medicine is basically the system of diagnosing and treating the human body, restoring it to normal health through physiotherapy, natural healing, minor surgery. Current law says that an ND or naturopathic doctor can conduct certain diagnostic procedures by the use of all recognized accepted physical laboratory examinations, drawing blood, etc., and they're allowed to prescribe certain medications that fall under one of five categories. A person must come from an approved naturopathic college that offers a resident four-year course and certain hours of requirements. And the current law notes that the school must be within the United States. The board oversees examining licensing of NDs, but by current statute, they're limited on the fees they can be charged. At the last meeting, the committee discussed the impact of changing term drugless therapy to naturopathic medicine, that the U.S. Department of Education discontinued recognition of the Council for Naturopathic Medical Education, and that discussed types of and reasons for diagnostic testing that NDs perform.
Okay, we have Scott Gallant. He's asked to testify. Is he ready? We have two or three items in writing before us, including some possible proposed amendments, which are not drawn up yet, so this will be a public hearing, and probably not a work session today. Also, another letter that's here, and I guess you'll probably introduce those in your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Scott Gallant with the Oregon Medical Association. Reviewing letter I believe submitted to the committee from a member of the Board of Naturopathy, they made a number of comments regarding the necessity of a couple of the proposed changes. One has to do with the ordering of diagnostic procedures. We're not aware of a definition in statute of diagnostic procedures, and I believe you'll recall that I mentioned that you know, the issue is not only just the ability to order tests, but the ability to do something with those tests where you might be involved in illnesses or injuries that may be beyond the scope of a naturopathic physician. Because it's not clear to me, at least, the association, what diagnostic procedures would be ordered, we've suggested that the committee might consider deleting the word procedures and substitute the word tests, which I think is more common terminology. I think the committee should realize, however, that there was an allusion to in the letter that you have received from the board member of the naturopathic board, that merely saying that someone may be able to order a test does not necessarily obligate institution, a hospital, or others to in fact perform tests that have been ordered by someone. The ability to order tests at a hospital are in fact governed by an entirely different statute that relates more generally to the bylaws of the institution, the medical staff bylaws as well. And one would have to have clinical privileges or some approved mechanism for an institution to perform a test. And the reason is that they obviously potentially carry some liability for the tests that are performed within their institutions. So this bill cannot reach to that, you know, into that area, and I think the committee just needs to be aware of that. The other major part, I think, of the bill is language attempting to enable the board to approve reciprocal licensing for individuals who may be practicing in Canada, at least according to the correspondence submitted to the committee. And so the change that I have proposed addresses the issue that was raised in that correspondence. Instead of saying that someone could be licensed from another licensing jurisdiction, which is no direction at all, as far as we can tell, but changing that to back to states or Canada, and I believe I left out an or. Like the Board of Medical Examiners, there are some standards that one has to, that the board deals with in reciprocal licensing. For example, you know, the practitioner has already passed a national examination. This proposal, as currently in the bill, does not include any language that suggests that the person would have passed a examination. I didn't include, but I think the committee might want to consider that the individual be practicing in good standing. Seems a logical thing to do, in that the individual has submitted written documentation that they have passed an examination that is substantially similar to the one that is required in the state. It was also suggested to me by another member of the committee that there might ought to be some language that reflects graduation from an accredited institution, which we would not disagree with. I think it would be to the benefit of potential patients that the individual, and I'm assuming that the board would only approve licensure for someone who's been to an accredited institution of naturopathy. But I think that would be a logical addition to this amendment. that you have before you. I'll be happy to answer any questions if I may.
Yeah, because of our lack of professional knowledge, would you be adverse to remaining here for questions if we have some of the naturopathic folks up here to allow them to speak in a more professional manner so that we could kind of keep this run going along and see what we need to do and then perhaps work through staff here?
Mr. Chairman, I'd be happy to do that. I do, at 2 o'clock, have a meeting with one of the co-chairs of Ways and Means, and they're kind of hard to come by sometimes. Yeah.
Does that mean that we can get out of here in 2 o'clock? Let's go.
Well, don't, Mr. Chairman, you know, never, you know, do your timing based off of my interpretation.
Dr. Malosh, would you be able to come up and bring whoever you wish to have with you there? I'm not always certain exactly who we have with us, but I think there's three chairs possibly available here. And
I'll be happy to take the far corner, Mr. Chairman.
I was thought maybe you'd get pinned right in there in the middle. I guess what I would like as a layperson, where it's considering things like tests and some of this licensing jurisdiction and things like that, because I'm not sure, I've never sat on a board where we sat down and tried to examine credentials of different colleges and who came from where and things from different states, so I haven't really had personal experience in these issues, and I would hope that you perhaps have copies of this available to you.
Yes, I do.
All right. I would like to then have kind of how you work, and then we may want to ask questions back and forth or someone else pitch in on one way or the other. So we'll go kind of free and easy in the process.
Mr. Chair, I thank you so much for your help on this. I think I'd first like to answer the one about licensing jurisdictions and just sort of read to you the section on our reciprocal licensing statute. It says that a person licensed to practice naturopathic medicine under the laws of another state, which is what we would like to change, who demonstrates to the satisfaction of the Board of Naturopathic Examiners that the person possesses qualifications at least equal to those required by persons eligible for licensing under this chapter, may be issued a license, and it goes on. So the person has to have qualifications that are at least equal to. And then we have a whole section of a law that describes what are the minimum qualifications for licensure, and that's goes over the number of hours and that sort of thing.
Is that portion in the
I don't know if that's
section
in
over here.
Page 2, section 3, lines 9, 10, 11.
I don't know how much of that they put into
the
law.
Yeah, that's where she's reading from, but we don't have the list of the qualifications. I think it's from another.
I'm sorry.
That's another part of the law that they didn't include in there.
Would it be possible, as we continue to work on this, to make sure we get a copy of that so we have some idea? And I'm not sure whether Mr. Gallant has had a chance to go back and review
that. So anyway, so we do have that. So someone would have to meet the qualifications that people in the state were meeting in order to get a reciprocal license. They would have to meet those.
So this just isn't a blanket?
It's not a blanket reciprocal. No, absolutely not. They have to have at least equal training to the doctors that are getting licensed in this state. And, you know, that's something that we are usually very detailed about looking at.
Okay.
And then to the issue of the word diagnostic procedures versus diagnostic tests. When we were looking at that aspect of the wall, we were trying to come up with a word that would best describe what everyone answers. You know, I can't tell you myself, is an MRI a test or is that a procedure? Obviously a blood test would fall under the blood test. We've never had trouble with people getting blood tests done. What we've had are more procedural oriented diagnostic test done, and that's why we use the term procedure in there. I know that the OMA would like us to come up with a list of what those procedures are, but then you would have us back here every 2 years once there was a new medical procedure available to get that put into our statute, and we didn't really think that that was a necessary use of your time.
Well, when you get into the fine line of discussion between test and procedure. I've always heard it referred to as blood tests. I never heard about anything about blood procedure.
Right.
There again.
But what about an MRI?
I'm not in the business, so I very likely could have not heard about a lot of things that you folks deal with every day.
Right. Those sometimes are referred to as procedures, and I think the word diagnostic is what covers us in terms of only doing things that are of the diagnostic end.
Senator George?
Linda, if you referred someone to my clinic for a diagnostic procedure, and I took a look at your referral and said, nope, we don't think it's appropriate. This wouldn't require me to do it because I have a board of physicians or rules that I have to abide by.
Absolutely.
Okay, so if it was test or procedure, it wouldn't make any difference. As me doing it, being the testing person or agency or hospital or whoever would have the right to say, gee, I'm sorry, I just don't feel comfortable doing it. I might consult with you.
Right.
Okay.
And the other issue that Mr. Galen brought up was, what if we do something without, we come up with a diagnosis that's beyond our scope to practice. Well, we are required to refer. It would just be as if a general practitioner sent a patient in and came up with a diagnosis of cancer. They're not going to treat them themselves. They're going to refer on to an oncologist, and that's what would be expected of a naturopathic doctor to do as well.
I guess the testimony that and the issue that came to me, if I understood it correctly, was that, for instance, and I'm going to just use names of towns in Portland, and using that as a general vicinity, they were able to have X-rays done, performed, and all of this kind of thing, even MRIs, I believe, did I?
Yes, absolutely.
And yet over in the Grand, as I remember, was then all of a sudden they were refusing to do these same things. So I guess what I'm saying is here, I need to be convinced that I'm doing the right thing and I'm guessing that the doctors of naturopathy have not been cited or sanctioned or brought under any type of board or public sanction for using these things in the Portland area.
No.
So what I'm trying to do is determine, are we doing the right thing in the Portland area? And if we are, then
why
do we have to work to make it so you can do the same thing in LeGrand? Because I don't believe we should be denying something in LeGrand that we're not denying in Portland or vice versa.
Right.
We need to come to a conclusion of what's right. And if it's being done in Portland and accepted and it's not right according to law, but it's apparently the training is there to do those things and it's not caused a problem, then I'm inclined to think we need to do something so that everyone's treated fairly around the state, not only the operating licensee, but the public that
sees them
should have access as near as we can see to it legally from the protection of the state in those processes. So I need to have kind of a background of and a discussion maybe between you and Scott here as to how, what the extent of these MRIs are, how prevalent they are, whether they're used strictly to protect yourself so that you make sure that you're not doing something in a naturopathic way that would be contraindicated to a situation that is going on inside that wouldn't be visible with the naked eye or palpable or whatever the terms are. So I guess that's kind of where I'm sitting here as committee chair, and I don't know that I'm speaking for all my colleagues, but I'm guessing that all of us are not really knowledgeable in these areas.
Senator Chair, I can answer to you what my experience and those of the colleagues that I know in the Portland area is that we do order mammograms, MRIs, bone density testing. I have a very good relationship with a number of the medical doctors who run those facilities there and do referrals. I actually refer patients in for some of their testing that they're doing that, to validate their studies and that sort of thing. I've never had a problem with it. It is.
Do you actually read those or are those read by those other professionals that perform them?
They're read by the other professionals. People will bring me copies and I look at them, but no, I don't read them. I read the report of the professional And that's why it's important to me to have good relationships with those docs, because I want to make sure that my patients are seeing the best ones out there. Yeah, we don't read them ourselves. We're not, you know, you have to have special training to do that.
Mr. Chairman, if that's the case, then apparently this legislation is not necessary.
How do we settle it so that they're allowed to do these things in LeGrand then?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I think what you were just told was that that is an ongoing process currently, and therefore the language is not really necessary.
My understanding with
LeGrand, they're being
right.
Well, Mr. Chairman, this will not, let me say this again. This legislation would not obligate a hospital to perform examinations because of this language, nor would it obligate a lab that I'm aware of from performing tests. As the language is drafted. It does not affect the statutes that govern the responsibility of the appropriate level of care and skills of those institutions. That is governed under other Oregon law.
Senator Carter, I didn't mean to hold you off here this long, but you had a question.
Scott, would it make be clearer for you in statute if it was, Senator George was just saying, if it had testing procedures?
That most certainly would, well, testing procedures. I don't know. Excuse me, Mr. Chairman, Senator Carter. I do have a tendency when I get worked up to go on kind of running sentences and dangling participles when I write. I'm not sure that would actually clarify the issue, but it appears to me that the underlying issue that seems to be being presented to the committee is somewhat confusing. One is you're hearing testimony that suggests that naturopaths currently order tests performed by qualified individuals and interpreted appropriately. Okay, and then suggesting, well, we actually need this language in order to do that, which seems to be something of an oxymoron to me, contradictory. And institutions and labs who perform tests are under strict obligations to assure that they're, obviously done appropriately. You have private contracts, you have legal liability, and what is done with those exams. I mean, I think people forget that at least for the medical community, we have lawsuits where a physician has tried to track down a patient about tests that have shown, say, a cancer. The patient has refused to go in for a subsequent treatment, and the physician has been found liable for not trying hard enough. There are obligations involved in these processes.
Does a lab or one of these diagnostic facilities, do they have an obligation after they have made the diagnosis and referred it on to the physician?
They have an obligation to send the test to those that they obviously contract with to perform tests.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is they don't have a liability for the way that physician then interprets and uses that information, do they?
Well, they would have an obligation if the test was done incorrectly. I don't believe
that. That would not be the fault of either the physician or the
Mr. Chairman, let me try to say this again. This bill would not obligate, and there is some contradictory testimony here, would not obligate those facilities or institutions from ordering tests.
Yes, Senator Shields.
But, Scott, that's no different than with an allopathic physician. An allopathic physician could say, I'd like to do such and such a test and kind of ask for a test of some facility, and that facility might turn him down too.
Well, know, there are physicians, medical, by that I mean medical doctors, doctors of osteopathy, who do not have hospital privileges and would have no greater ability to order a test from that facility than anyone else. If the goal, my point is, if the goal of this change is to somehow, I think it was talking, the written testimony suggested elevating the practice, it does not accomplish its goal because the facilities that have been referred to in the written testimony are not obligated to perform the test.
Senator George.
Well, Scott, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it does expand. I mean, if you look at the narrow group of things that could be requested before, and that what this reads is that nothing herein contained shall prevent a licensee under this chapter from doing a few things, and one of those now will be added ordering diagnostic procedures. The thing would be is if a lab said to, say, Linda, I don't believe you have the authority under law to ask us for this procedure, now they would be able to say, well, yes, I do, but you still have the right to say no.
Well, the earlier testimony said that they're doing it currently, but,
the exception is being denied, and I was under the impression it was being denied because the LeGrand people felt that they might possibly be liable for something. That would be the only reason I could see, because I just toured the LeGrand hospital, and they're basically, I didn't think they were turning down any cash business.
Yes, I was surprised.
Mr. Chairman, I believe that you have to take the other step in thinking through this process. Let's say that someone orders a genetic test. Is that appropriate in this particular circumstance for the types of diseases and illnesses that can now be potentially identified by that sort of testing? I'm not convinced that it necessarily is. I mean, the end result is it appropriate? If I were a family practice physician and I suspected that my patient had a major disc problem, would it be appropriate to get an MRI? Yeah. Would I more than likely refer the patient to an orthopedist or a neurosurgeon for an appropriate exam and test to determine the appropriate treatment for that patient? Absolutely. This provides, as far as I can tell, no parameters for the ordering of examinations and tests that may be well beyond these practitioners' ability to utilize.
Maybe we should make it real simple and put in here that they can do in any part of the state what they're doing in Portland right now.
Well, I don't know. I have not seen what the evidence is in Portland, but or LeGrand.
I'm not seeing that there's any type of weight of evidence that they're doing things that are dangerous or endangering anybody or anything like that by what they're doing in the Portland area. In the processes that they're going through, nor has anybody ever come and complained to me that these things are bad and they shouldn't be doing them, and they're not trained or handled or usable. Nobody's complained that it's an added expense. All I have basically going here is that now, in trying to settle something and get a statewide standard that would allow it to be done statewide, is being done apparently in some places without. And normally speaking, I would expect the squall to come out of Portland probably, because I would think that they have much more access to an overall type of care to do this, whereas you get out into the more rural area, I would have guessed that probably you'd run into much more of an anything-goes situation simply because of the lack of opportunities to take care of the people, and you try to be utilizing everything that you possibly could. So I'm having a little trouble here with seeing how do we, and I'm not saying we want to change things and allow a whole bunch of new things or new projects or new tests or diagnosis or whatever the case might be, but how do we get this evenly applied so that apparently things that have been all right and that have been acquiesced to without any objection from the people paying for them, the people receiving them, the clients they're working with. That's where my dilemma.
Mr. Chairman, I believe that your statement argues that the status quo does not necessitate this language.
Well, if it doesn't, what language does necessitate to tell LeGrand to get on the twig?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I don't think this language would, in fact, reach whatever the LeGrand circumstance is, even if it were adopted.
Senator Shields.
Let me ask a question. Scott, you seem to be... A phrase that I picked up, and it's been a good while back now, was that you said it doesn't have enough parameters.
It doesn't have any parameters.
Okay. What parameters does an MD have in ordering diagnostic procedures?
Well,
don't the parameters come out of that person's background in education and so on, and don't these people have a background in education? Can I illustrate my point as part of my question?
I give you the floor.
And I'd like to share this with all of the committee. A few years ago, I had a medical doctor in my congregation who was an emergency room physician in a Portland hospital. But he wanted to start treating people in a more natural sort of way. And so he went back to school and became a naturopathic physician on top of being an MD. All right, now his background, his education create an intuitive sense that all doctors have to have when they are ordering diagnostic procedures. And that's the sideboards. That's the parameters. You say no parameters, but the parameters come out of the educational background that a person has.
I would argue, Mr. Chairman, if that's where we are, that the education and training and clinical experience of a family practice physician is quite more extensive than that of a naturopath. Now, the literature from the College of Naturopathy and typically the statements of the advocates for naturopathy argue that it is in fact the same, equal to, or the same. I don't believe that's the case. Now, a family practice physician most certainly know, one of the tricks in the practice of medicine or in any healing arts is knowing what you don't know. That can be an exceedingly tricky thing to do. And dealing with the exceedingly complex diagnoses about illnesses that can have severe consequences. Now, I believe that is in the public interest of patients and individuals in the state of Oregon that we have the best qualified individuals to treat Oregonians when they're ill or sick or have some injury or catastrophe. Now, maybe that's the wrong philosophy to have, Senator Shields, but that's essentially a standard that we believe is important. And one way of getting there is, in fact, to be exceedingly well-educated and trained in accredited medical institutions, residencies that are at least 3 years, and sometimes longer, depending on subspecialties, to be able to figure these things out. And, you know, it's always fascinating me. Fascinated me personally that it appears at times that the legislature generally is relatively lackadaisical about the level of training and skills that we allow people to use in treating individuals for serious medical conditions. That's a I admit that's a bias.
Well, I would have to say that in at least four sessions of experience, we've tampered a little bit with scopes of practice, and we've heard quite a few different arguments. I have yet to have anybody come and complain about one of the decisions we've made that has cost somebody something, other than if you have somebody that's practicing outside the parameters or fouled up in their own training and have been subject to sanctions. But you have a 2 o'clock appointment.
Yes, Mr.
And I want to pursue this further, and you won't have a chance of being here or knowledgeable of what we're going to do, but I still have several things that I wish to ask these folk. We will not go into work session on this today, and we all...
Chairman, I want to thank you for the time to present these amendments and to handle the discussion.
And I think some of the words that you said about the trick is knowing what you don't know. Could that possibly apply also to politicians and legislators?
And MDs and DOs, yes, Mr. Chairman. Absolutely.
That's why I haven't put a work session on this bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chairman,
yes.
I guarantee you that I don't know the answer, but I'm looking at this handout we were just given, which talks about all the regulations relative to naturopaths. And I look under 685.010, and I see that a person who's going to practice naturopathic medicine must have a degree from a college offering a 4-year full-time resident program for the study of naturopathic medicine, leading to a doctorate degree in naturopathic medicine. Then if you drop down to line 5 on page 3, you see a definition of what naturopathic medicine is. And it talks about the limited scope that they can actually operate in. And then when it even gets to minor surgery, which we had a concern about a little while ago, it goes right back up to 4, and it defines what minor surgery is. So I don't think there's any possibility whatsoever for them to get outside of the scope of their practice. But I would like to, Mr. Chairman, why I'm ranting and raving here, take a look at how this thing would read. If we will go down to Section 3 of the amendments offered by Oregon Medical Association, if I understand how this would read on page 2, line 9 and 10, it would read this.
Are you presenting a hearing or are we in a work session?
No, I'm going to ask a question. I'm going to get to a question.
All right.
Okay. A person licensed to practice naturopathic medicine under the law of another state, the next word is Canada. And that would certainly need to be clarified. Wouldn't that also, and I guess this is a question for
he left out the word or.
Oh, he did say he left out the word or?
Be another state or
okay.
Canada.
But with that language, Linda, wouldn't this just limit it to any physician who was from Canada that was?
Senator George, yes, thank you. Yes, it would limit us to ones who are in Canada. There are naturopathic schools also in England and Australia. We have not had anyone at this point applying for reciprocal licensing here. But as our school gets bigger and more well-known, it is one of the top, I would say, in the world in terms of a naturopathic education. I suspect we'll be getting people from other parts of the world wanting to come here and share their knowledge with us. And we just want to have the ability to do it if we think they're up to our standards. We don't have mm-hmm. to. I mean, it all puts it on the onus of the board to want to make sure that standards are upheld, and that is what we are here to do, and we're here to protect public safety. So that would be our goal. I would also like to answer to Mr. Gallen's charges about the difference in education between naturopathic physicians and medical doctors. It is his bias. My bias, of course, is that there is not a difference. Now, he talks about family practitioners. What I'm talking about is general practitioners. Family practitioners do have a postdoc residency, and we are getting our students into postdoc residencies, but they're not as developed as the medical doctors. But we are very similar to what we would call a general practitioner in terms of a medical doctor. The hours are extremely similar. If you look at the first 2 years of education, there's very small variance in what is offered at the naturopathic school and what is offered at OSHU. And, in fact, if you were to look at our board exams, you could switch board exams across, and the students would have no idea for the basic sciences which ones they were taking. Were they taking the medical ones or were they taking the naturopathic ones? They would pass at the same rate. They just wouldn't know because we do study the same basic sciences that they study as well. So I do think that I just want to reiterate that we do have the education to make these diagnostic decisions, and we do know to refer, and referral is what naturopathic doctors are used to doing when they get to a case where it's not within their scope to practice.
Mr. Chairman, she not only answered my first statement as a question, but she also answered my follow-up question. I appreciate it.
By the way, thanks. I don't know who was responsible for getting us the ORS is here from 685.010 on, dealing with the requirements, but I appreciate having that. I'm going to enter that in the record and thank
Ann Walsh, our executive
for
director,
doing that. I had. Yes, and we also have a packet that you mailed us that I'm going to have entered into the record.
Great.
Right now. I had a question because, again, I don't want to assume something, but I have basically been operating under an assumption because I don't know, per se, that you primarily use these things not so much for treatment but to decide whether or not these are things you can treat or whether you should send them on.
Absolutely.
Now, is that not exactly what a chiropractor does when he takes x-rays?
I
taking the x-ray to decide, well, he might be deciding
how to
manipulate and that type of thing, but he's also doing it to protect himself from doing injury to something that he's not capable or not licensed and trained to treat.
Absolutely. And if you have a patient who comes in with a very bad back with pain radiating down their legs, and they really don't want to go and see someone else, and you get an MRI and you see that they've got a severe herniation and that they would benefit from surgery, it's much easier to get them to go in and see that neurologist at that point in time for that appointment, whereas they might just not be, you know, you might not be able to convince them until you have some hard evidence that they need to see someone else.
Yes,
Mr. Chairman. And then they could take their MRI printout and take it to that physician.
Absolutely.
So there would be no loss.
There'd be no loss, no.
And the physician would be able to go back to the person that had, or the clinic that had, run the diagnosis on that.
Right, if they wanted to do a comparison or that sort of thing, yeah. They, you know, because it would be at a standard.
Certainly then they could order advanced or further.
Absolutely. That happens a lot, actually, with women. I refer for mammograms. We do a mammogram, we see something, or we need to do an ultrasound. We do the ultrasound. Something comes up in that. Refer maybe to the breast center over at Good Sam Hospital. They'll go in, they'll take those studies, and then do the biopsy necessary. So, you know, it works very well in terms of those contacts.
I guess, Senator Carter, did you have any further questions? You missed out a little bit here, and Mr. Gallant had to meet a 2 o'clock appointment, so we really haven't been able to kind of finalize this. But I see that I think we still need to do a bit of work in togetherness outside a committee, working toward seeing how we proceed on this thing so that you do have similar operating standards throughout the state. And if indeed it turns out, and LC may be able to give us some help on this too, as to whether or not this really does open it up statewide and give you the same opportunity statewide.
Senator, I think it mostly clarifies our law. I really think we have the ability within our scope of practice to do it because it is we're allowed to do what we have been taught in school, and it is part of our education. It just clarifies it. It makes it very obvious to anyone looking at the law that, yes, indeed, we have the capability of ordering diagnostic procedures.
Yes, Senator.
What you're saying, I think, is well summarized, and I'd just like to ask if this is the case. In our agenda today, it just establishes that naturopathic physicians licensed, you know, are not prohibited from ordering the diagnostic procedures. It needs to be established once and for all is the point that you're trying to make.
Absolutely.
And Mr. Gallant kept kind of saying it doesn't mandate anything, and of course it doesn't. It just established that it's allowed. This is permissive. Is that?
Yeah, Senator Shields, yes, that is my take on it. I mean, I believe it's allowed already in our statute because it is covered in what we are taught at the naturopathic schools. But it just makes it clear. It establishes that, yes, indeed, there is no prohibition against us ordering any sort of diagnostic tests, that they wouldn't be doing something outside the scope of our practice. The board couldn't sanction them for that.
Well, I think that at least we can say we established one thing. We're all agreed that licensee is a good substitute for licensee.
That's good.
We're over one hurdle. Yes.
Doctor, are you saying that this bill is not expanding your scope of practice at all, that it's just saying that what is recognized in one part of the state, it should be recognized in another part of the state?
Senator Carter, yes, that is the case. It is not expanding the scope of practice. We have been ordering these tests. It's allowable if you read our law thoroughly through. But it takes reading the law thoroughly through to understand that it's allowable. This puts it down into one nice little sentence so that you can refer someone to that section, that sentence, and they'll understand that, yes, this is allowed.
Your organization, the Board of Naturopathic Examiners, is similar to the Board of Medical Examiners in that it takes care of the consumer issues that would a doctor in naturopathic medicine would face if
yes.
In this, with the same kind of intensity, would you say?
Senator Carter, yes, I would say yes, we do use the same type of intensity.
Yes, staff would like to ask.
Out of curiosity, under Section 5, you have a list of areas that you can take disciplinary action against that seems fairly thorough. Mr. Gallen's concerned that perhaps there might be an MD that would misuse a diagnostic test. I see there's negligence related to practice of medicine, there's gross repeated malpractice, there's conduct of practice contrary to recognized standard of ethic or profession.
Those would all cover Dr. Galen's or Mr. Galen's objections.
All,
yes.
Another, okay,
yes. Yeah, so if someone was ordering, having everyone come in and ordering an MRI and everyone willy-nilly, they would get disciplinary action from the board that would not be appropriate.
It may fall under any one of those three.
And it could, any of those three, yes. I think it depends on which our assistant attorney general wants to use.
Been a gentleman here that has been uniquely silent listening to this whole process, and I'm not going to put him on the spot and ask him to come up here and maybe help us out, but I'm going to ask Mr. Patterson if he might be willing to help us a bit from the hospital angles of why they would and allow him to get perhaps some information on that that he might be able to suggest things. I don't think we ought to turn down the avenue of help in trying to solve this, because I have absolutely no intention of purposely allowing something that I question to be foisted off on an unsuspecting clientele, nor do I have any intention of not allowing people to practice in what they've been trained in and what they're paying their license for. And in these areas is where I have to ultimately make my decision.
Mm.
And so I would like to ask Mr. Patterson and on the record to help us out a bit in working with this before we bring this back up for another work session. And we'll get together with the Oregon Medical Association people, or Mr. Anderson, whomever they wish to continue this, and with you folks from the naturopathic industry, and perhaps myself, if necessary, or staff here, and okay. We'll do our level best to work this out and bring this back timely.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to do anything I can to help you.
I appreciate that. You have been most helpful, and recognize that you know, the old saying, I can't teach an old dog new tricks, might apply to us here. It's pretty hard to give us a MD or doctor of naturopathy or something like that here in 30 minutes in a committee.
Right.
You're doing well.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
On page 3 of the bill, line 36, Linda, could you guys take a look at that? And I just mentioned something to the good senator to my right here, and I said, on line 36, it says, habitual or excessive use of intoxicant drugs, controlled substances, or diagnostic procedures as a criteria that might be used. I mean, that seemed to me like that, you know, in theory, I think it's covered by the other items,
right,
as our staff said, our committee administrator, but I'm just wondering if you would, what your thought would be about an idea like that. kind of relieve heartburn?
Well, we do have...
That doesn't refer to the dispensing of those. That refers right. to the personal use of those.
Oh, is it personal?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
We do have, though, under grounds for discipline, willful and consistent utilization of any naturopathic service, x-ray equipment, or treatment, which is contrary to recognized standards of practice of the naturopathic profession. So I think, you know, that kind of covers the excessive use of diagnostic procedures, which truthfully has not been an issue that has come before the board. We don't have doctors doing that.
Doctor, on page 2, I was noticing Mr. Gallant was asking why would you, on line 9, remove the word state, you know, a state licensing jurisdiction. Would that be a problem for you if state were to be maintained?
The reason why we wanted to change, remove the word state, was so that we would be able to offer people who are coming from outside of the country but who have the proper credentials, the ability to get a naturopathic license here in Oregon. If we leave the term state, we don't have that capability.
That would be a little troubling to me, only in the sense that I remember when Americans did it during the war, they left and went from the United States to Canada. And so we tend to use things when it's feasible for us to use it and not use it on the other hand. So you're talking about another country at that particular point. So maybe you guys, when you're discussing, Senator, what are some of the things that you can do that there's a give and take on each? I know that would be a concern to me.
Senator Carter, what would be your concern
about that? That it is limited to the United States and not to another country, because if you take it out, that means people
right.
from countries all over the world
can't come here. Right.
So, and the quality and the standards might be a little different.
Right. That's why we don't agree with Mr. Gallant's amendment. We would like to allow people to be able to come from other countries.
And I'm saying I'd like to see them come from the states.
You want to come see them come from the states.
The states, because you have some control over that.
Well, the way the reciprocal licensing paragraph is written, and you have a copy of the whole statute so you can look at it, that's 685.085. It doesn't mean that we have to give the person a license just because they come from another state or another country. It means we have the opportunity to.
I do understand.
Yeah.
Well, I think in light of that, I mean, for years, you weren't considered to be a real surgeon unless you'd been studied under German techniques or European standards and
right.
like that, and you had to learn German in the process of becoming a doctor, and et cetera, et cetera. And those things have long gone by the board. And yet, doctors are accepted by the Board of Medical Examiners from every other country, providing mm-hmm. they have certain standards.
Absolutely.
And I don't know how it's worded. Maybe we ought to just check and see how their licensing standards are worded, and maybe just pick up on them, because what's good for the goose should be good for the gander.
That's a very good idea, Mr. Chair.
If that's the case, and I was thinking mm-hmm. myself of, you know, if we wanted to do that, just that a person's license to practice naturopathic medicine under the laws of another state, comma, country, comma, or in a country or licensing jurisdiction would basically cover... the situation, but I think here maybe I'll instruct staff to check out and see what the Board of Medical Examiners is under their restrictions on people coming from other, however it's worded, state,
right.
country, jurisdictions, and that kind of thing, and see how they approach it, and perhaps we can get a wording there that, and in the process of it, make it even across the board instead of having a different language for every board.
Right.
Yes, Senator
Shields. While you're talking about state license, country or licensing jurisdiction, my question is, isn't the most important part of that whole phrase what follows that? Who demonstrates, into the satisfaction of the Board of Examiners, that the person possesses qualifications at least equal? That's the most important part, isn't it?
Senator Shields, I would agree with you 100%, and that's why,
yeah.
you know, we weren't too concerned about you know, say in the term licensing jurisdiction, we wanted to give ourselves some flexibility because it means they have to have the same training that an Oregon physician has. And it doesn't even say that we have, even if they do, we don't have to give them the license. We have the capability if we want to, but we aren't forced to.
Further questions? Is there any further testimony that you folks would like to give to have on record or anything, or anyone else here that wishes to testify?
Well, if you have no more questions of me, I don't think I have anything to add.
I'm not saying that we won't.
Well, I'll come back then.
At least not right at the moment. Are you satisfied that I've, with my instructions of how we're going to proceed, that we've covered what we need to cover so that we know how we're headed?
Yeah, yes, Mr. Chair, I am satisfied.
Okay. And I thank you very much, and I apologize for not being able to get this done before Mr. Gallant had to go, but I'll instruct staff to get this underway right away.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Hopefully by the time we get an amendment to headed there, they'll be ready to start doing amendments. We've had a little trouble getting amendments out of it, LC. Any other thing further to come before the committee?
Mr. Kim, I just want, I was not trying to be picky. I'm trying to ask lots of questions. So
no problem.
Yeah, I guess that all of us are trying to solve a problem that's out there and do it the best way we can for everybody concerned. So I really appreciate your long suffering here, and we'll try not to break it down here just repeatedly. I'm going to close the work session on Senate Bill 413 and hearing. I guess I got a few more people here. They've asked me to announce about cell phones, so remember when you come into committee meetings to make sure your cell phones are off. And with that, I'll adjourn our Committee on Health and Human Services.